Well, I got a phone call last night asking if I could speak here tonight. So I can't say that I've ever prepared a message in less than 24 hours, but so this message may not be as long as normal to you. It might be a little bit shorter, but this is what the Lord has laid on my heart, and this is a story we'll look at. So we're going to look at a story in 2 Chronicles in the Bible. And if you have a Bible, that's great. You can turn to this passage. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen as I read the verses. And I'll just say, we'll read the story of King Jehoshaphat, and we'll look at things that happened to him, and it's really, you'll see at the end, it's really an incredible story, an amazing story. And I want to make comparisons to Jehoshaphat's life, to this story, and to our life, and compare them, and see the similarities here. So we'll begin, I'll begin reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll just read a few verses. I will be reading from the New King James, if anyone is wondering. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria.'" And we'll just stop there for a moment. So here we find Jehoshaphat in trouble. He's a king in big trouble. It said, we read, there's a great multitude coming against him and coming against his country, his cities. And this was, it said, it was a great company. We read people from Moab and Ammon and others with them. This is pretty big trouble that the king, that King Jehoshaphat is in. And this might surprise you, but you know, we are a little bit like King Jehoshaphat. Maybe you are like King Jehoshaphat tonight, and you wonder, how can I be like Jehoshaphat? We are in big trouble too, just like Jehoshaphat was. He had many, many people against him, far, far bigger than his army, far bigger than him. And we don't have an army against us. We have many sins against us. And what is the result of sin? The Bible says, this is what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. So we face death, just like King Jehoshaphat faced the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others. We face something too, something very serious. It's called sin. And, you know, Jehoshaphat could not fight this enemy. It was far, far too large. It was a great, great enemy. And we cannot fight this enemy either. This enemy of our sin is not something that we can fight on our own. It is completely, completely impossible. And I don't know if you know, like, maybe you think this is not a very nice subject. We really don't like to think about our sin. We don't like to speak about our sin. It's not something nice to talk about. And maybe you thought the gospel message is good news. It means good news. Why are you talking about sin? Because we can be saved from our sin. But we have to start on this note. We have to start by realizing that we do have an enemy, and that is sin, that is death. And we really need to recognize this, like King Jehoshaphat. So let's keep reading verse 3. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." So, and Judah is the country, the place. "So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Verse 5, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?'" Verse 9, "If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Verse 12, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And we'll stop there for now. So here we have Jehoshaphat seeking the Lord. He realized the danger he was in. He realized the enemy that was coming against him. And he knew that the Lord was his only hope. The Lord was the only one he could turn to. He had no hope on his own. And we read there, it said, he set himself to seek the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. In verse 9, we read, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord, we read, who will hear and save. Did you know that the Lord will hear you tonight? If you call upon him, he will hear you. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat turned himself to seek the Lord. He was deliberate about seeking the Lord. And my friend, you have to be deliberate too. You have to purpose in your heart to seek the Lord. It won't happen on accident that the Lord saves you. This is not an accident. This won't maybe happen. You have to seek him. Seek him with your eyes and call upon him. Ask him for help. And he will help. It says he will hear and save. Notice in verse 12, we read in verse 12, King Jehoshaphat said, "We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor know we what to do." You know, he was honest with himself. He didn't try to pretend that he had it all figured out or that his army was big enough. No, he knew. He knew that he needed the Lord. He knew that they had no power against this great multitude. And this is a good thing to know when your enemy is too big. You have to know this, like King Jehoshaphat. And he said, "Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you," says King Jehoshaphat. And see, he trusted in the Lord. So I want to ask you tonight, I want to ask you a question. Are you going to be like King Jehoshaphat? Will you seek the Lord? Will you deliberately seek the Lord and ask him to save you? Many people in this world think that they will maybe end up in heaven. They don't know for sure. They think maybe. And maybe if their works are good enough, or if they are in the church or something like this, they will get to heaven. But they don't really know. But we can call upon him, and we can know, because God hears and God saves. You have to realize, like Jehoshaphat, you cannot save yourself. This is a big realization you need to make. You cannot get to heaven by yourself, with your own power or strength. Just like King Jehoshaphat, he realized, I have no strength. I have no power against them. But he also said, neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do. We can't think of a solution. And I hope you're not trying to think of a solution tonight either. Many, many people in the world try to think of solutions of how to get to heaven. They think if they do certain things, they'll get there. And they have their ideas. I hope you don't have your own ideas of how you'll be right with God. You have to go God's way. You have to trust in him. The Bible's clear, that's the only way. And that's the only way that you will know. See, when you trust in yourself, when you have your own ideas, your own way of getting to heaven, it's not dependable. How are you supposed to know that it's true? You cannot. You must believe in the Lord. Maybe you think that you can forgive your own sins. Or maybe you think that your sins aren't that bad. But you know, there's only one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus. That's going God's way. That's going with the Lord, trusting in him. So you must be honest with yourself, just like King Jehoshaphat was. If we think we can fight this battle on our own, we obviously don't understand how great this battle is, how big it is. And Jehoshaphat, we read at the beginning, the people came and told him, there's an army, there's a people of Moab, they're all coming against you. But he feared, he realized they were great. And we must be honest with ourselves too. Our sin is great, and it will bring us to ultimately to death. And that's what we need to be saved from. So Jehoshaphat realized, he knew he had to be saved. And he said at the end, after he said, we have no power against them, neither know we what to do, he said, but our eyes are upon you. And, you know, this is what we must come to as well tonight. Everyone, we must realize this. Our eyes are upon you. That's trusting. Our eyes are upon you. We have no other way. We have no way or power within ourselves, no ideas, but our eyes are upon you. And King Jehoshaphat, he trusted in the Lord for salvation. Let's keep reading a few more verses here. Verse 15. There's a man, so there's, just for context, there's all these people together, and they're seeking the Lord because they realize the army that's coming. And there's a man that stands up in the middle of this group, a man with the Spirit of God in him. And this is what he says in verse 15. He says, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Go down to verse 20. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were there dead bodies, fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Verse 27, and they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Verse 30, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Wow, that is quite the story, an incredible story. Here they are facing this army, they have this battle before them, far greater than they are. And they cry out to God, and God says, this battle is not yours, but mine, it's God's. And in verse 17 we read, You will not need to fight in this battle. That's incredible. He says, position yourselves, stand still in a battle. This is incredible. And they go down, and as the whole group goes, King Jehoshaphat reminds them, trust in God as you're going towards the battle. You will not need to do anything. Can you imagine going to battle thinking you don't have to do anything? You would probably, your heart would still be beating. You're going to face an enemy 10 times bigger than you or bigger, but you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is stand still. This is an incredible message. It says when they came to a place overlooking the wilderness, and they looked toward the multitude. And down there they could see, it says, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. You know, if this was a multitude that was coming against them, this was a multitude that was going to kill them. And they could see them there. The whole multitude, completely dead, destroyed. And the end of the verse said, no one had escaped. And then they returned. They went home with joy in their hearts. And at the end of the chapter, we read, God gave him rest all around. Maybe you're wondering why I'm getting emotional. I don't mean to. But this is an incredible story. And when you compare it to our own lives, it's just as amazing, or more amazing. And, we have to be like Jehoshaphat and trust in the Lord. And we will realize this battle's not ours, but God's. And we will not need to fight in this battle. We won't have to keep trying and keep doing things our own way. But trusting in the Lord and knowing that salvation is in him. Did you notice in verse 17, it said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know if you noticed the chart behind me, but it's a map. And it shows two ways. There are two roads. And one goes God's way, and the other one goes our own way. I don't know if you see that the one in the middle. There's in the center of the map, I have a laser. In the center of the map, you see this thing. It's called death. And this is something that all of us have to face. And I want to just pause for a moment I think we have some time. I'll pause for 10 seconds, and I want you to look at this map behind me. I want you to stand still and see where you are on this map. Are you on the Broadway, or are you on the narrow way? Take a moment to look at the map. Do you know where you are? Are you on your way to heaven? You know, the only way to get onto the narrow way, that road that goes to heaven, the only way to get in onto that road is through the door. That door is a picture of Christ. It's going God's way. And that's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to joy. We read in verse 27, they went back to Jerusalem with joy. And we read in the last verse that the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest. Are you seeking rest? Do you want rest? Do you want joy? Friend, I hope you don't choose your own way tonight. Jehoshaphat could have made up his own ideas. He could have gone against that battle, towards that the multitude of people coming towards him. And he could have tried to fight them on his own. But he would have been destroyed. If you try to face death and sin on your own, you will be destroyed too. And that's why this message from God's word is so solemn. That's why it's so real. That's why we want to tell you it tonight. We thank you for coming. And our prayer, our desire, what would give us joy is if you would go God's way. If you would seek the Lord like Jehoshaphat did. And if you would call upon him. You know, there is a day coming when you will reach that black pillar that's on that map behind me. And if you are on the wrong road, you will be in death forever. So this is a solemn message to turn to the Lord and find joy, find real joy, and find peace. And rest. Find rest in your hearts like King Jehoshaphat. You know, I didn't read this, but Jehoshaphat and all these people, as they stood on this lookout overlooking the multitude that the Lord had destroyed, they went down to this multitude which had been destroyed. Every one of them. There wasn't one living. And they went to this place of victory. It was victory. And it says they took from the bodies and from the goods of this army. They took gold, and they took this victory was theirs, not because of anything they had done. They had done nothing but trusted in the Lord. And it says they, for 3 days, we didn't read this, but for 3 days they went collecting gold, and they couldn't carry it all. There was so much so much gold and so much goods. And they stayed there overnight in this wilderness, collecting all this stuff. And for 3 days they did this. And then they went back with joy. And you know, this is how the Lord works. The Lord always works like this. When you trust him, not only does he give you victory, he doesn't only give victory, but he gives incredible and tremendous blessing. And he wants to bless you. And that's why they walked home with joy in their hearts. Because of the victory, because they weren't dead, but the opposite, they had come into blessing, more goods than they could carry. And that's also the gospel message. Christ, the Lord, wants to give you gifts. And this is not prosperity gospel, but, you know, at the end of the narrow way, you might still go through death, but heaven is on the other side. And heaven and the new heavens is eternity with God, eternity of blessing, eternity of rest. And that's the gospel message. So I leave these words with you, and you may understand the gospel. Maybe after this message you understand it better. But it's not enough to only understand the gospel message. It's not enough just to know it in your mind. You have to let the Lord come into your heart. And the heart of the matter is this: trusting and looking upon the Lord. So we thank you all very much for coming. We appreciate it very much. I don't have a closing hymn, but we'll just close in prayer.